Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Christopher Terrence Jones. Welcome to another episode of the Christopher Terrence Jones Show. Can we talk? Hope you guys are doing amazingly well at home. I hope you guys are adjusting to being in the house. You're washing your hands. You're staying safe. You're social distancing. And you're doing everything that you need to survive. Right now, y'all know what to do. Share the podcast. If you're not following, subscribe on Apple, iHeart, wherever you listen to your podcast, start following, subscribe, listening, sharing, and telling a friend. That's the best thing to do right now. Today, I'm honored. I have a special guest with me all the way from the East Coast. And, you know, I love the East Coast folks. They are just freaking amazing. And I have this amazing actor that I found on this YouTube series called Triangle, and he is the lead character, and his name is Kenyon L. O'Brien. Let's welcome him to the show. How are you, sir?
Hello. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. So, like I say, you guys, I found this show, and it's called Triangle, the web series. And you can start off on YouTube. You can go over there and find them and start watching the show. They are on season 5. And so you can catch up there.
Yes.
And so tell us a little about you. Let's start off there. Tell the people about you. Tell us something about the man himself.
Well, Kenyon L. O'Brien. I've been acting for about 7 years. I kind of just rolled into it because I used to model a lot. And a friend of mine, he actually used to write for another show that I'm on called Finding Me. And he came up to me one day. He was like, you know what? I'm going to make a part for you. And I was like, okay, I mean, let's see where this goes. And so the lucky thing is I lucked up with that part because I was only supposed to be like a guest star, and something happened with the main character's love interest and they ended up putting me in it. So it kind of pushed me in a character role that I wasn't necessarily supposed to be in. So it kind of like gave me my start for the acting, because that's basically where pretty much I started at, is my first official acting gig. Born in New York, raised in Delaware. Most people, you know, Delaware is a pass-through state for most people, but yeah, I was raised there. Graduated high school from there, 2003. I'm old, oh my goodness. After that, I moved back up to the New York area, and that's where I got the footing with the acting and everything. And after that, I was there for like 8 years, went to LA for about a year, and then came back, and now I'm back on the East Coast, living in Pennsylvania. Yeah, that kind of sums it up. Jack of all trades, my survival job outside of being a creative, I wear a lot of hats. I believe in multiple streams of income. I've managed gyms, clubs, bartend. I do it all. I do DoorDash if I need to. Look, I like my money, so get it in the best way you can.
All right, for the DoorDash. All right, DoorDash, yes. DoorDash saves a lot of people right now, so that's a very profitable position right now.
Sure does.
Mm-hmm. That is something. So I was doing my research on you, because so you guys listening at home, like I said, Triangle is this web series that I came across, and y'all know it takes a lot for me to get hooked into a show, and it took a whole lot for me to decide to pay $9.99 a month for a show. And the thing that got me about this show, and which stuck out for Kenyon, is the character that he plays is a very positive role that is missed in the LGBT community. And it just was, I was like, I have to have this piece, and we need to talk about this, because most shows, you if you see characters that are gay, they are white male characters. And this show features two African-American men who are married. That is unheard of. It's unheard of. So when I was like, oh my God, this is just something. This is a show that needs to be put out there because we haven't seen anything like it since Noah's Ark. Kenya might be a little young for Noah's Ark. When that came out, he was a teenager when Noah's Ark came out. But how did this role get conceived? Because most roles that come up, they don't do that. So how did this come up in the process for you guys?
Well, initially when it first got presented to me with Carlos Harris and Cesar Williams, the two creators and the writers and the producers, Carlos went to Cesar and was like, I want to produce a web series and, you know, this is what I'm gonna do, or vice versa. Cesar went to him or whatever. They have a friendship, so. And Carlos began writing for the show. So initially, of course, it's Triangle. So it initially started with a relationship, my character, Jabril, having a relationship with two different guys. So he's basically essentially cheating on his boyfriend with another boyfriend. And that's how the triangle happened. And now, since then, it kind of spawned like a octagon, hexagon. I don't even know how you go into it. Like, you know, whatever those gons are, because it's so many different webs and weaves that we have, like, you know, right, woven together. And so when they came to me, because initially he seen me acting on Finding Me, he was like, well, I want you to be the role. I want you to do this role. So he sent me the script and I read it and I was like, oh, okay. In my head, I was like, okay, I'll be Brandon. He was like, no, I want you to be Jabril. And I was like, I don't like him. I don't like that character. So he was like, no, that's what I want. And I was like, okay, that's what I'm gonna go with. So initially, when it first started, because we was initially supposed to probably do like 5 or 6 episodes and that was it, max. But as we were filming it and it got to like the second or third, like people were asking for more, like give us more. And so in the first season, it started out as 6 episodes, but it ended up being 20 something for the first season. And as the episodes got up in numbers, we started making them longer because they would start like 12, 6, 10 minutes, and then it started getting up to 45 minutes to an hour. And that's when we decided to start adding more characters. And then each character kind of developed. And as it went on, because to make the story interesting and how it kept us going is because each character had like a different dynamic and they kept like growing and changing in a different way. And we were able to have this palette that kind of, we kept molding the characters as we went along. So if someone were to say, start watching now, watch the first episode and watch like the last one we just put out from season 5, you would be totally blown away. Like, what, this is the same show? Because it has been so much going on and it's like, it's almost like a soap opera, Dynasty type of thing, General Hospital. It's just like all wrapped into one. And it's like, it's good. It's like and we try to keep it geared toward, of course, the LGBT community and giving people, because we are, most of the people are from ballroom. So it's giving them a shot to show them in a different talent from what their ballroom talent is.
Definitely. I agree there. It is a web, a serious web of so many different things going on. And sometimes you have to go back and watch if you're not really paying attention because you'd be to miss something. And I'm telling you, you guys at home, if you haven't, I have to keep stressing this, go watch the show, start there, because as the characters develop, you start to, it's like you're watching, and like you said, it's like a dynasty. And you start to fall in love with characters and you start to hate characters. And y'all know, And one of the other things that they do on this show is the comment section is lit, if I tell y'all. And they respond back. If you look in, if you want to interact, they respond back. Now, you may not get the answer that you want to see all the time, but how much input do you guys give into your character? Or do you can totally rely on them, or do you help develop your character more and more?
In the beginning, it was basically the writing and production, because going into it, I was outside of the five or six main characters. I was the only one that had acting experience or acted before. So everybody else were kind of like new to it. And they were pretty much coming into it as, okay, novices, like, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to try something new. So in the beginning, it was more so, here's the role, here's the script, you know. And then as time went on, it was like, so what do you think about this? How do you think, you know, this character would be, how do you think your character would do this? What do you think your character should do? And so eventually, like now, if they're, especially if it's a already an established character from like season one, it's been here, like they have like input on how the character or the like suggestions of the storyline, how it may go a little bit. And it's just like it's a collaborative effort. And that's what makes it good, because you, in acting, especially if you have like such a rapport with the people that you're working with, you also want to have people have an input, because it also gives them a way to pour into it themselves. In a way that you probably couldn't get if you just grabbed an actor off the street and was like, here, play this role, versus someone that's been immersed in the character for, you know, X amount of time.
So true. And like you said, the fact that you had history, because you had already been acting, and I was rolling through, I came across that you were on Law and Order, you were on Madam Secretary. I was like, wait a minute, these are my shows. I watch the shows. So I'm sitting here like, So you brought everything over. And so how is that working? Did you have any training before when you started to go to acting school? Did you do anything, or is it all natural abilities?
I actually haven't had any acting classes. It's pretty much been a learn as I go, kind of like intuition, or, you know, just learning from other people. I haven't, like I said, I haven't been to any classes or anything. I do want to, but I just haven't gotten into it. I'll look up stuff on the internet and figure out like, oh, how to do this or how to convey this. And but I also like to be in the moment. If I'm being directed, I want to portray what the director or the writer is trying to get out of me. And so it's good to like, you know, sit down and talk with them. Like, so what do you think? Like, how do you think I should play this? And also give them a variety of things that, that they can work with, in post, which is another good thing about, just being able to collaborate with, you know, the production team. So it's really good. And I actually, the weird thing is I started with the web series stuff, and then I went over to doing like the background work and the guest appearances on the other shows and stuff. So that kind of pushed me to do more, to try to get like, you know, immersed in the business more. So basically that really, so like Triangle and Finding Me kind of like pushed me into it. More outside of the web series stuff.
So now, and so Finding Me, I didn't know too much about that. So tell a little bit about that. Is it still a current show?
Well, so Finding Me isn't a current show, but so it went like this. So Finding Me, the series, which I was initially on, came off of two movies that came out probably like 8 years ago or so. So two movies came out, was Finding Me and then Finding Me Truth. And then after that, the writer, director, creator, Roger Omez, he decided to do a web series, because that was like the new thing that everybody's doing, web series. So he decided to do Finding Me, the series. So we did Finding Me, the series, and that was when I got my first shot at acting on there. And now, after Finding Me ended, Roger decided to make stories based on the supporting characters. So now the new series is called Decalogue, Finding Me Decalogue. So it's like 10 chapters of 10 different characters that wasn't main characters in the initial series, but now these specific chapters are going to focus on those characters. And chapter one was starring me, called Talks With Myself, Decalogue Talk With Myself. And it's still going. I'm about to come up on season three, yes. It's basically a dive into Morris Chadway, which is, he was previously married to a woman, or, you know, DL, those things. And so they got divorced and he fell in love with a man. He moved across country for the man. Well, he moved across country and that's when he met the man. So he was kind of like moving away to shed his skin to be a different person because he had been living in the closet for so long. So he moved to the East Coast and began to live this out loud life, or trying to anyway. So like the series now is basically going through him coming out and being comfortable being gay and all the trials and tribulations and all that stuff. So it's been good.
That's real good. So how was that process for you? Because we definitely from different times. I'm a lot older than you, so we're from different times. And how was the process? I think it's a little easier for you because you're on a show and it just helps that process just a little bit more to live your life. So how was the process of coming out?
Well, for me, I really didn't care about coming out to anyone except my mother. Outside of that, I was like, I don't really care because nobody else is paying my bills or, you know, taking care of me. I'm an only child. So, I mean, the only person that I needed to really tell was my mom. I mean, if she felt the need to tell the people, then she could. I really didn't care. So I pretty much let her know. It was real, like, it was kind of harsh, but I just really wanted to get it out the way. I was 18. I think it was after I graduated high school and we were on the phone. And so she was telling me, it was Thanksgiving. And she was telling me, oh, I'm going to be cooking this. Da, 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 da. I was like, okay. And so towards the end of the call, I was like, well, my boyfriend's going to be coming to dinner. And she was like, oh, okay. And she was like, and how long has that been going on? I was like, for about a year now. She was like, oh, she was like, are you in love? And I was like, yeah, something like that. And she was like, okay. And that was kind of end of it. And after that, it was just like, whatever. Now my mom's like my biggest cheerleader, biggest fan, so.
Oh, you know, that's an amazing thing. And it's so funny because we're having now this insurgence of the great come out stories and the coming out and what is his name? J. August Richards, an actor just came out who plays on this show called Council of Dads. And he made this big proclamation. And I was like, do we really need proclamations or can you just live your life and go that way?
Right.
Because I didn't have a big coming out story. I just lived my life. But I came out in a different time. So in my time and era, then, you know, it wasn't common. But now every time we look up on TV, I'm coming out. I'm coming out, and that's what you're getting now.
It's like, I don't get it. I mean, to each his own. So they feel like they need to do it.
And then the other thing that I noticed has been coming out, and this is usually with the I'm gonna be politically correct, the Caucasian actors. Now they're deciding that they want to tell their positions, top and bottoms, and I'm like, do you have nothing better to do? Is that what this is? I'm like, I'm not understanding. So.
Yeah. I mean, only people that need to know what you're doing the bedroom is the person you're doing it with, to be totally honest.
Exactly. Exactly. So tell the people some of your hobbies. Tell them what gets you. I do know that you are a true vegan because I see that in your Instagram stories. I'm like, can you please have some meat? Can you please put some meat in there? Oh.
No, I am, I try to say plant-based versus vegan. It's kind of the same thing, but I feel like a lot of vegans, like, it's their lifestyle. They're like, ugh. And, you know, they're all for the animals. They don't wear leather and all this. And I really just did it because I wanted to see if I could do it. And I kind of just stuck with it. So, yeah, and that's been for about probably going on 3 years now. And I mean, I like it. I like the change. I like the outcome of how I feel, how I look. So, I mean, there are some times I do miss some meat, seafood or, you know, chicken or whatever, but I'm good. Actually, I'm kind of nervous to even go back to it now because I feel like it's going to tear my stomach up. So I might have to ease back into it, even if I do decide to do it. So outside of the plant-based stuff, I write poetry, of course, working out. Well, I haven't done much since we've been locked down, but yes, working out. I like to go to the movies, theater, amusement parks. I try to read. I need to read more often, though. And what else? I like do-it-yourself projects around the house. I have a couple that I'm trying to work on while I'm quarantined. What else? I like long drives. Just open road driving. I don't like stop and go driving now. What else? I don't know. I'm pretty open to most things as long as it's not illegal or want to kill me. I'll try it. I mean, but yeah, I'm kind of easygoing. I'm a big body as well too. I'm kind of a antisocial person, if that makes sense.
I know it very well. I know it very well. I run a social group, so I have to be social, and I do events, I do wine tours, so I have to be over the top when I'm out. But I have been cooped up in this house. I ain't had a haircut in a month and a half, and I'm looking like death warmed over, so I'm all good with being in the house as long as I can keep drinking. But one of the other things, you said you had moved to L.A., What sparked the move, and what sparked the move to go back to the East Coast?
So I initially really wanted to go out there to try to do the whole acting thing and everything, but I was kind of impulsive in the move. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I have the time, I have the money, let's do it. And I kind of did it too quick and I didn't plan properly. So when I got there, you know, I did some movies here and there and some modeling gigs. And then as time was going on, I got offered more stuff on the East Coast, because initially when I first moved there, Triangle and everything just had started picking up. So I was in LA, but I was constantly like flying back and forth. It probably wasn't even a full month like that I was there that I wasn't like leaving out. And a friend of mine told me, it was like, if you move to LA, you got to move here and just sit here for a while. Don't be traveling back and forth home because you're not going to get settled. And so that's what I made the mistake of. And when I did that, so after about a year, almost a year or so, I got offered a position back here. And I was just like, well, I really don't have big roots in LA. They're not deep enough right now. So before I have to get in a position where I have to like actually choose this or that, I was like, well, I can just go back to the East Coast because I'm able to do it right now. So that's what I did.
And I'm sure being in LA, there was no big ballroom presence, so that kind of messed up things for you too.
Well, not really, because I wasn't involved in it when I was out there, and I really didn't look for it out there. It's not really a big presence. Well, probably is now, but yeah, I really wasn't too wrapped up into it then anyway.
So tell the people about ballroom. Tell them what your experience is in ballroom and what ballroom has done for you.
So I initially started ballroom when I was 17. I didn't know anything about it. It was probably like my first time even being around a group of more than two or three homosexual individuals in general. Like, I didn't know anything about it. It was kind of it wasn't sprung on me, but a friend of mine was in it, and they were like, oh, you want to walk this? And I was like, I don't know. Okay, I guess so. And it kind of just rolled from that, so I didn't really know anything about it. And then as I started going out more, I learned pretty much, you know, all the ins and outs of it. And initially for me, ballroom wasn't, I guess it kind of sort of was, because I know a lot of people do ballroom, or initially when it was created, it was like, you know, a safe space for people that weren't accepted at home. So these are their gay family, these are houses and everything like that. I was fortunate enough that I didn't really have that negative experience coming out. Experience with going into the ballroom, I didn't need that, fortunately, but it was a space where I was able to congregate and be friends with like individuals, you know, the same sexual experience and all that. So that gave me some comfort, because outside of it, I didn't have any like friends or family that was even homosexual. So that gave me that comfortability and a sense to, I guess, confidence with, you know, walking and being able to have, I guess, being criticized and like that. It gives you, you know, a tough skin. You know, we homosexuals can be very judgmental. So being able to guide through that process pretty much gives you this, you know, confidence that, you know, most people may or may not have. So, yeah.
I like that. I like that. It definitely gives you confidence. So many years ago, my little brother used to do the whole ballroom scene. He had a house and all of that, and the whole, you got to come to this, you got to come to that. I'm like, I work every day. I don't have time for that. I'll help you, but I can't come. So I understand. And it's definitely needed, because there's so many in the community who really are left alone when the parents decide that they don't want to accept them because of their lifestyle. So it's truly a needed thing. And once learning what really happened with it, like I say, I had more than not enough space in my house. So I raised about 10 kids in my house who lived in my verbal house when they were there. And their parents said, I'm done with you. You do that. You go live wherever. So if people don't get it, it's really sad. It's really sad, because people need their parents. They need their parents. And if you don't have them, then ballroom is the place where you get a family, and it'll help you, because as you get into the real world, some folks is catty out there. They catty. And I know that you're learning that with the fame that you're getting from the show, because I'm sure the comments is just, is there anything in the comment section that have just scared you and just been like, oh my God, did this really happen?
No, okay. Now it's kind of like just water off my back, because it's been going on for so long. So like, you'll dip into comments like, oh my God, these people are crazy. They're really going crazy. They're fanatic. But I mean, I enjoy it. I like the support. I like that people are engaged enough and we're able to entertain people enough to like pull them in and have them like be very dedicated, hardcore fans and connected to the storylines. Cause it makes it better for us creating, because it's like, okay, we know what we're doing, people are loving it, so we got to keep giving them this, because we got to do it for them, because they really, you know, like what we're doing. Now some of the comments are crazy, because sometimes, you know, they just want sex, and it's like, you know, not every show has all sex.
So from the start to now, let's just say, so you guys, if you've watched Triangle, if you haven't watched it, the series has definitely evolved, because in the beginning there was some sound issues, there were some things going on, and I like how that it has progressed and it has elevated. So tell us about the shooting. How is the shooting sessions for you when you have to do your calls, when you have to go in there? How does that process work for you?
Well, now it's pretty easy, like I said, because we've been doing it so long. And some of the same partners that we have are people that we've been literally working with for the last 5-6 years. So a lot of times, like, the scripts or scenes can be very easy for us to just portray because we know the story, we know the characters, we know their relationship, and we know their dynamics. So we can go into it, you know, and sometimes even just ad-lib something and it'll come off like, oh, this is a really good scene. And I know for now, before when we went into it, we were like rehearsing and everything. And because that's because everybody was pretty much brand new. So we were really like kind of like pounded it in that we needed to like get this stuff done so we could film it right and keep it going. Even like to what you just said about the sound and stuff and everything, it was important for us to show an elevation in the production. Like, because you don't want to basically move something over to a pay-per-view platform and people are like, well, where's our money going? Where's this going? What's going on? And it gives us a way to show like this production is coming up. This is what's going on. So it's basically, you know, showing exactly where our, you know, where the support is going. And it shows, it's able for us to give a better, you know, production and stories. So it works out.
And so the big storyline for you is that you and the Chadwick thing, Jabril/Chadwick. And yes, let me tell y'all at home, I'm over it. I need Will to come back. I about had it with Chadwick. I'm like, how much longer can I take on this? But y'all know it's a soap opera, so it has to be carried on. It has to be lingered on. And how is that for you playing the dual characters and just saying, okay, I got to go back and forth and I got to convey this. How is that playing two persons? Because some people have an issue playing one person and you're playing two.
Mm-hmm. Well, it actually it's fun to me because it's like I have fun with the character because Chadwick, the character itself that was played by Dante Hensley, was like just a like off the cuff, crazy. He kind of like unraveled as he, as this show went on. And so the things that he would say out of his mouth was just really like harsh and comical and cynical. So when I was able to do it, it's like, okay, I'm going to have fun with this. Even everybody on set, he was like, you're really having fun playing this, aren't you? You're really having fun. So I really pretty much have fun. It was only because we just did, not to give too much away, we just did like a scene where, an episode where it was like him and I in the scenes. And it was kind of like, it was good because we were like, you know, pinging off of each other. So it was fun. I really like it. I am tired of him too. I'm ready for Jabril to come back. So, but it also, you know, it's good for storyline. It's entertainment. So it's fun. And it keeps people in suspense.
Now there's a big mystery that, and so I'm telling you guys that you go start watching this stuff. There's a mystery on YouTube, and maybe you can help us solve this mystery. What happened to episode 17 on YouTube of season one?
Oh, I have no idea. I haven't gone back, because I cringe at those early episodes. I haven't gone back and looked at season one in forever. I don't even know what. I couldn't even tell you what episode 17 was. It was like 30 something and like 20, 30 something in season one. I can't even tell you what 17 is. You sure it's gone?
It is gone. I cannot play it. It is not there. And I'm like, it's a very pivotal scene. And it jumps from when you and Brandon start getting back together. And so it's in that process of you telling him, your character, Jabril is telling Brandon about him having the money and it's going through that process. It's right after Kiko and, Ashton got kidnapped. And then it jumps from 16 to 18. And you're just like, well, what happened? And when you click the button to try to play 17, it says it doesn't exist. It doesn't anything. So it leaves people with this big jump.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I'm trying to see. I don't see it. Well, I got to go through all these things.
It is truly gone.
I'll ask, because I didn't even notice.
Yes, and then even when you go to the on the paid site, it's not season one is not even there on the paid site, so you can't even go back. So that's one of the episodes that I missed early on, and I was like, okay, maybe it'll come back up. I'll watch it again, and it just went bye bye.
Yes, here we go.
I'm like, oh my God, there's a block that's missing. We need to fill in this. Because I needed to go back and I was like, there's some things that I needed to see. And I was like, oh, because I had Emery on the show. And right before I had Emery on the show, I did a series about polyamorous relationships. So it was so funny. Mm-hmm. Then the show did the polyamorous relationship. So we did, it was like, I need to have him on the show, that would just be perfect to come in. And so we know that your character has just done about it everything. Is there anything else that you want your character to do that you haven't done?
I don't know, did he kill someone? I don't think he killed anyone yet. I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think he's killed anyone. I don't think I remember that.
I personally, because I know it's a storyline that keeps it interesting, I personally just want Jabril's character and Brandon's character just like have a season of love with nobody involved in it. Nobody messing things up, like them just being able to be together. I think that's one of my things, like, okay, one season without mess, but you know, it's a storyline, so it makes a good entertainment.
It makes for good entertainment, but it's definitely needed because you guys are showing a dimension that we don't get out there. It's just not there, and it's definitely needed. And I'm like, come on. You're playing with me. You're playing with my emotions. And I'm like, I'm screaming at the TV, like, why can't this happen? I'm like, and I've got all kinds of emotions. I cry from the doggone thing. So yeah, it's like, y'all know at home, I'm crazy. I get emotional. I can watch Lifetime and cry. But this series has overtaken me. And I'm like, you guys have to watch it. You have to watch it. So what's the next thing?
Yes.
What are other goals for you in your life? What's the next thing that are pressing for you?
Well, right now I like acting, but I really like being behind the camera. So in production, I have a couple of scripts that I need to finish, and I really want to get out there, get them in some film festivals and things of that nature. I think that's where I want to go. Because I like bringing words to life and people seeing. Acting is fun, but I also like being behind, like actually creating stuff. So that's next for me. I really want to dive into that. What else? What else did you say? What's next for me? And what else?
What are your goals? Just goals.
Oh, yeah. Well, in terms of like the acting thing, I really want to be able to be SAG. So I have like, you know, they give you like, you have to have 3 vouchers to like on shows. So I have one of those left and I'll be able to be SAG finally. So that's one of those goals that I really want to knock off. Outside of that, I am probably well, within the next year, I really am going back to school. I just haven't figured out if I'm going to finish my previous major or start something totally different, just to get some more, you know, education, because you can never learn too much. It's always something out there that you can learn. And I just want to like push that forward. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
What were you going to school for previously?
Well, initially I started, because I love writing, I started out as an English major, but my first year, first semester, I hated it because I was used to the creative writing. I didn't like the structured writing. Like, you have to do it like this, you have to do it like that. It was, and it was just, it was a drain to my creative juices. And so my professor, she asked me, she did this, like, you wanted to write us to write an essay, like, how'd the first year go? How'd the first semester go? How'd you feel? And my whole paper was like, I'm changing my major because I am just over it. And so I changed it and I went into dietary management and social services. And then I stopped halfway through because I got wrapped up into work. So, yeah.
So, this is definitely a good question. Since you're becoming a, whether you want to believe it or not, you're becoming a role model in the LGBT community. What are there any nonprofits that you are out there supporting that support the community? Anything that you're like, I need to push this so people will know about that? Is there something you're passionate about?
We do a lot of conjunction stuff with Amedicare, which is the biggest health Medicaid-ish in New York City. I'm not sure exact term of it, but it's a Medicare. So Barbara Throwbacks does a lot of, BRTBTV does a lot of stuff with them. I personally, my passion is dealing with the homeless. I feel as though like that's where my passion is. Going into that, like doing stuff that I can for people that are less fortunate. I'm always, if I have something in my car, I'll just drive around with like old clothes in my car and just give them out to when I need to give them out. Fortunately, can't give money out all the time, but you know, you do what you can when you can, because you never know what people might do. You don't know what, you know, little things go a long way for some people. So I like that. I've done some things with Impulse. What else? I used to actually work for a nonprofit in New York, GMAT. So I used to do that and did like, you know, outreach and testing and stuff like that. And I kind of wanted to go back into public health as well, especially, you know, given the current climate of everything. It's like, I don't even want to just touch on that. It's ridiculous anyway. But yeah, so options are open. I'm like, spread it thin. You gotta get your hands in all of this stuff. There's so much stuff.
Okay, so you say you like that. That's because you definitely have to support. If we don't help others along the way, then our living truly will be in vain. Mm-hmm. We have to help somebody. How, the bouncing around, how did you end up in Pennsylvania right now? Why did you leave New York?
Well, when I came back from LA, I came straight to Pennsylvania. And moved here. Initially I moved here because this is where our office was for the production company. So our office is here and we do a lot of filming here. So I live in the city where we do a lot of filming for Triangle. It just made it simpler. And it's kind of smack in the middle to New York or Philadelphia. DC is like 2-3 hours down the road. So it's like smack in the middle and convenient. And you get bang for your buck from cost of living, you know.
So you really live in the actual, what is it, East? You live in Easton?
Yes.
Wow. So some years ago, I lived in New York. And when I first moved to New York to start doing theater, I lived in Poconos. So that's my experience of living in Pennsylvania. I do know about it, and I worked in Allenstown. I worked at Macy's a long time ago. And okay. Then I
Lehigh Valley, the area.
Huh? I missed that.
So Lehigh Valley, you're familiar with the area?
Yes.
I said you're familiar with the area.
I had never heard of Houston before, and I was like, okay, it's got to be somewhere close to there. And I was like, because Allenstown was like, when I moved there, I was like, God, where did I just move to? Jesus, help me. Help me get through this experience. But I moved there to work with a church in their theater department and travel with the pastor and sing. So then I was like, oh my God, I hate this. I hate this. This is Hickville. I'm not used to this. I am a city boy. Where is the town? I need to be in the town. And so I ended up moving into New York. And that's when life, I got my life back together. I was like, okay, I feel perfect now. But do you like the slower pace? I know the rent is an amazing thing, but the slower pace, is that a better thing for you?
Oh, I do, because like I said, I'm a homebody. So I like being in a close vicinity or proximity to the city. I don't have to live in the city to, you know, get the city life. I can just, I can drive there and leave, or I can spend the night there with some friends, or I don't need to hustle and bustle of the city. So being this close is perfectly fine for me. It works. I can get there an hour and a half, maybe less. And a lot of people that live in this area actually commute back and forth to the city, so it's convenient.
Ooh. Commuting in the snow is no fun. No fun driving a stick up the hills of the Pocono Mountains was no fun. No. So.
Oh, no.
No. So, tell the people. Let's see, for the people that have fallen in love for you. Are you single?
I am single.
Oh, y'all better stay out of his inbox. Don't be in the inbox telling him you in love. He already know you in love with him. Stay out the inbox. Jesus, help us. Okay, now, I asked this in a group that I was in the other day. With all these single, amazing men, why are there so many single men? Why are you single?
I mean, you know, timing. Things happen. Things don't happen. I mean, you can't rush it. And I think it's best not to settle. And you shouldn't go looking for it, because when you look, you do tend to settle. So just let it happen.
Very good answer. Very good answer. Oh my God. Okay, so I have some silly questions for you, and I'll wrap that up. They're comical questions, and they're the best answer that you can give when you're top of your head. So, what excites you right now?
Sleep.
Did you really say sleep? Okay, sleep. So, what's the funniest thing people should know about you?
Funniest thing. I mean, I naturally just have a funny personality when you get to know me. I don't know if I have anything specifically funny, but yeah, I'm a good time.
Okay. What was the most memorable toy you played with as a kid?
Probably Kinects. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's like a game where you build different, like you put together different pieces. It's almost like Legos, but it's not Legos. But you put together different pieces to build, like cars, helicopters, Ferris wheels, houses. So it was sort of like you like put them together and you can just sit in there. I was the type, like I would just plow through all the pieces, build the whatever the project is, build it and leave it, versus what you're really supposed to do is build it and take it apart. But I would like leave it and sit it up on the shelf, and like these were my things that I did. So that probably was my most memorable. And I had a My Buddy too.
Kinects. I have never heard of that. That is something I'm gonna have to look that up. What food would you absolutely not eat under any circumstances?
Right now, probably avocado or cooked spinach.
You don't like avocados?
No. Oh. I probably can't even tell you what it exactly tastes like, because I can't in my head even remember me ever wanting to taste it. But the look of it, to see it, guacamole, avocado, it just makes me kind of nauseous, and I just don't want to do it.
Okay, so I don't like guacamole, but
chitterlings, never.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm a country boy. Chitterlings are that's my way of life. Oh, that's my way of life. Oh, M&M's in Los Angeles right now would really bless my soul. Oh my God. What is the absolute worst song in the world to you right now?
Coronavirus.
Is there a song about that? Please.
Yes. It was a mix. Like somebody, Cardi B did like this.
Oh.
I don't know. She was like talking about coronavirus, and they kind of looped it in a song, and it's just like, oh my God.
Oh yes, I know what you're talking about. I do know which one you're talking about. And my last one, if you're in the reality shows, which one is your guilty pleasure right now?
Ooh, guilty pleasure. Because the other ones are good, like Housewives and everything. I think my guilty pleasure, because guilty is like you feel like you shouldn't be watching, but you can't turn away, is Chasing Dallas or Chasing Reality. Chasing Dallas.
Chasing Dallas. Ooh, I've never heard of that. What's that about?
Basically, it's a group of men, LGBT folk that are pretty much chasing, like, you know, they're creative. So they're trying to be into fashion, they're acting, they're writing, they're, you know, they're designers. So they're all doing that. But then they, of course, you have the mess going on, but they have like different franchises. Like they have Atlanta, Chasing Atlanta, Chasing Dallas, and I think they're about to start Chasing LA. And a friend of mine is going to be on that show. So,
yeah. I've never heard of this. And what network is this on?
It's on YouTube.
Oh, it's on YouTube. Okay. So I'm like, I see it, but I'm like, okay, so I'm going to have the fellas talk about that. That's a good show for them. Because I have a podcast called The Fellas Point of View. And that is four strong gay black men. Lord help us. Lord. So that would be it. I thank you, sir. And like I say, you are just an inspiration to the community right now, and it's something that the community needs. And you and Brandon, Dominique, are just portraying this lifestyle perfect and showing that it can be done in spite of the different scenarios that happen. And that's what we need, more positive gay men, strong gay men, instead of what people think we are, instead of stereotypical, we see a different side.
Right.
And how the characters play out with the having successful businesses, having successful friendships and relationships, that really helps the community so much more than people will ever understand or ever know. And so kudos for that. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate you. Keep doing great things. Keep holding your head up. And then decide to come back to Los Angeles. There's nothing wrong with the West Coast. We're amazing people out here.
I love California. I will definitely be back there sooner rather than later. Well, after, you know, life after lockdown, maybe. I probably won't be doing any type of big crowd traveling until next year. I'm just not. Chance, and I'll let people go out and play outside first, and then I'll see what happens. But thank you for having me. Sorry it took so long. I know you've been asking me, so thank you for being able to finally get it together and do it. So yeah, folks out there, tune in, go to YouTube, Ballroom Throwbacks. You could start from season one, episode one, and work your way up. Just bear with us. Like I said, you know, this first couple of episodes are a little rough, but it gets much better. Trust me. So tune in there.
And how do they find you if they want to contact you or follow you? How do they get to you?
It's very easy. I make it simple across all social media platforms. Kenyon L. O'Brien. KENYONLOBRIEN. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everything. Keep it simple. Across all platforms.
Thank you guys for tuning in. I appreciate each and every one of you every week. I thank you guys. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for 3 years. And once again, of successfully doing this, I'm holding up this podcast world. And make sure you share, tell a friend, all that good stuff. And we'll see you again on the Christopher Terrence Jones Show. Can we talk?